When the kids are little, they run around and they hug on you, hopefully. You feed them and you hold them and they love you. They actually rely on you. And they know that you're the go-to, right? Sometimes it's mom more than dad, but you're the go-to person. And there's this little kind of an innocent relationship that happens with little kids and moms and dads. When you get older, it's still that love, right? That love is still there, but there's a lot more nuance to it, isn't there? There's a lot more, or should be a lot more honor, a lot more respect. The kids by then have learned a lot, and they've either become like you or similar, or they've learned what you've taught them. There's something that happens, and I think it comes down to honor. Little children really don't honor. They don't know how to honor. They learn to honor their moms and dads, but we as get older, we learn to honor. Isaiah 63:15. Look down from heaven and see from your holy and beautiful habitation, where are your zeal and your might? The stirring of your inner parts and your compassion are held back from me, for you are our Father. Through Abraham, though Abraham does not know us, and Israel does not acknowledge us, O Lord, you are our Father. Sometimes we feel estranged. In fact, at some point we should feel estranged so that we are drawn closer to Him, seeking Him by His Holy Spirit and His Word. But many times we just feel like we don't know Him. But the more that we get to know Him, the more that we go through His Word, learn of Him as a Father, we really begin to honor Him as our Father. And that's, we should. Isaiah 64:8, O Lord, you are our Father. We are the clay. You are our potter. He's our creator. Fathers create. Mothers create. He's our creator. And all of us are the work of your hand. And then, of course, you know that just like a good son, Jesus says, pray like this, our Father. I'm very grateful for that verse because, or that lesson, because Jesus is saying, you can say this. I'm sharing my Father with you. It's our Father. We're adopted. We've been given the power to become children of God, according to John chapter 1. So He is our Father. The family issue is God's issue. He created the family. And He calls Himself Father. He's the Father. Psalm 103, just as a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on all those who fear Him. And then furthermore, in Isaiah 66:13, as one whom his mother comforts, the Lord said, so I will comfort you. Isn't that really good? We don't go around calling the Father mother, do we? Let me just say that little book going around the shack and all that other stuff. Be careful of that stuff. God is never shown as a woman figure. The church is shown as the woman figure. He is seen as the Father, but He has compassion like a mother. And He uses that attribute. He talks about that attribute. He has compassion. He is our parent, our Father. He wants the best for His kids. You and I want the best for our kids. We don't necessarily know how to do that. I heard somebody again say the other day, this one did not come with instructions. This little one came out like all by himself. Where's the instruction book? We say, well, they're all the same. No, they're not. Have you seen the model that I have? What model did you get? They don't come with instruction books. Except the Bible, which is a good one. And so through time, we have to learn how to be a parent, especially when it's your first one, right? Ah! How do I do this? You know, you hand the baby to the daddy, and he's going, you know, how do I hold this? What do I do with this? We want the best for our kids. The father wants the best for his kids. He tells the children, your children, and he told us this when we were children, children, obey your parents in the Lord. For this is right, honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you and that you may have long life on the earth. If he's our father and we're not obeying him, I think it applies to us, doesn't it? You want a long life? You want a good life? Honor the father. He doesn't just say, I think I'm going to give this instruction and I have nothing to do with it. He's saying, you have kids, I have kids. You're my kid, he says. Leviticus 19:3, every one of you shall revere the mother. And it's interesting there that the mother is placed first. The mother and the father, and you shall keep my Sabbaths. I am the Lord your God. And so it's best for us as children to obey. And it's best for our children to obey so that they will learn and, by the way, have a long life. And a good life. Not an easy life. Okay, I didn't say easy. I don't think it says easy anywhere here. God gets directly involved in your life, doesn't he? These are direct commands. This is a direct letter to you. When you pick this up, you can put your name in the front of the Bible, like so somebody can find it. And give it back to you. But more so that you can place yourself in God's Word. You can find yourself there. He's talking directly to you. But do you know that he also indirectly gets involved in your life? Sometimes we don't know where to look for him. He comes around the corner. It comes through another person. His word, his direction, his comfort, his help comes indirectly. It comes through somebody else. Jesus is known by so many titles. We know him as the shepherd, right? The priest, the teacher, the counselor, even the everlasting father. He shall be called, Isaiah 9:6. Christmas is coming. Might as well start now. But in 1 Peter, for instance, chapter 5, verse 2, Peter tells the elders of the church to be shepherds of God's flock. Do you know there are shepherds here? Do you know that you're all priests? How many times have I said that? You should have a dollar for every time. You're a royal priesthood. You stand as an advocate between somebody else and God. Especially those who don't know God. You stand as an advocate. 2 Timothy 2:24. An elder must be able to teach. So there's teachers. There's teachers of children. There's teachers of adults. In Hebrews chapter, I think it's 5 or 6. And other places it talks about elders being able to teach. But it also says that we as a general should be able to teach something, right? We know something. You know the Father, you know his word. And Proverbs 11:14, where there is no counsel, a people fall. So we should be counselors. You see what we're saying? God is directly involved with you. His son is your shepherd, your priest, your prophet, and your king. And yet, He appoints everybody as something. As a shepherd, a teacher, a counselor, and a parent. Did you know you were a parent? To not just your children? Now, we got to be careful here. Because somebody, like a few years ago, said, you know, that the village should raise the child, right? We're not talking about that. We're not talking about that idea where it's my duty to take on your child. All right? And you don't want mine. Right? That's not what is being said here. This is, somebody lives in a house. They live with a physical mom and dad, or grandpa and grandma, whatever God wills. Adopted grandpas and grandmas and moms and dads. That's the physical, that's the what God has placed on earth as a type of what he is doing in heaven. He is the Father. He's our adopted Father. He has adopted each one of us. We live in his spiritual house. And yet, I don't know, 99.99999% of his children. Because I live with these family. This is my family. But we're all parents spiritually. All of us. And a task for a parent is vital for bringing up the next generation. If you try your best with the instructions that you have to bring up your little children and your grandchildren the best you can, and some of you great-grandchildren, if the Lord pleases, it's the same spiritually, that you are using the same book, the same instructions to bring up spiritual children. All of God's roles parallel ours. He indirectly works to you and through you through other people. He works directly through you with the Holy Spirit and the Word of God. He works indirectly to you through other parents and uncles and aunts if you want to use that role. He's working through you as ministers. God appoints godly shepherds and elders, parents, and in general, we don't want other people raising our children. And yet, my child sits in a Sunday school, right? And so they indirectly help us. Now, the Bible is really very clear. Don't call another man father. Don't call anybody father. In the American culture, we decided to say, he's my father. On your birth certificate, we have father. We've kind of let that slide. But generally, we don't call a priest or a shepherd or anybody like that father. And yet, those attributes are there. We're called brothers and sisters. Right? That's clear. Paul does that many, many times. So does Peter. Did you know that they're spiritual moms and dads? God entrusts the keeping of the children to the parents, and those parents must have the attributes of God to bring up those children, and you are directly involved in that. Now, before we read this verse, let me read this, because he says in chapter 2, verse 1, "For you yourselves know, brothers, that our coming to you was not in vain. But though we had already suffered, been shamefully treated in Philippi, as you know, we were bold in our God to declare the gospel of God in the midst of conflict." Anybody want a weak dad? Or even a weak mom? Or one who's chicken? No, we want somebody to stick up for us and to do what's right, even if we don't like it. He says, "For our appeal does not spring from error." Anybody want somebody who's telling you the truth or a lie as they're raising you up? "They didn't spring from error or impurity, or any attempt to deceive, but just as we have been approved by God to be entrusted with the gospel, so we speak, not to please man, but to please God. Anybody trying to please their kids? Or are they trying to raise their kids? It's okay on their birthday, give them a gift. I'm not saying anything like that. But the Bible says, doesn't say anything about pleasing your kids. In fact, it talks about getting gifts. It talks about raising your kids, loving your kids. For we never came with words of flattery, as you know, or pretext for greed. God is our witness. Nor did we seek glory from people, whether from you or from others, though we could have demanded as apostles of Christ. In Luke 8:20, somebody came looking for Jesus. Who was it? It was his mom and the brothers, remember. And this is one of those areas where Mary really wasn't understanding her son and the call on her son. And she comes with her brothers and she says, they're coming to take him because he walked the lie, because he's out of his mind. So somebody comes to Jesus and says, your mother and your brothers are standing outside wanting to see you. But he replied, my mother's, my brothers. Now listen to what he said. My mother's and my brothers are those who hear the word of God and carry it out. Now you go tell the Catholic Church that Jesus called some other people mother. You remember they went into Peter's mom's house. Remember mom, she was sick. And then when she was healed, she got up and served her. That was like a mother to her children. My mothers and my brothers are those who hear the word of God. God expects his ministers to fill those positions physically. And so we come to 1 Thessalonians 2:7. We were gentle among you like a nursing mother taking care of her own children. So being affectionately desirous of you, we were ready to share with you not only the gospel of God, but also our own selves because you have become very dear to us. He's talking like a woman. I mean, an affectionate mother is what I'm saying. You understand what I'm saying? Guys, do you walk around talking like this? He's coming like the affection that he got from God alone to share the word and to give himself like a nursing mother would. You know nursing mothers. You had one. You know them. They give their life. They give their all. They get up to cook and clean and do, you know, you hear the kids, you don't work. Yeah, okay, right. Good luck with that. No dinner for you tonight. These men were acting like doting moms. That is love. That is affection. That is dedication. That is dedication. But that's not all they did. You are witnesses. And God also, how holy and righteous and blameless was our conduct toward you, believers. For you know how like a father with his children, he exhorted them, he encouraged them, and they didn't do anything out of greed. What kind of dad do you want? I want a doting mom, a caring mom, a very affectionate mom. She works day and night. I want a dad who's full of integrity, very courageous, very bold, disciplined with me when he needs to. We can say this now, right? That we're moms and dads. But isn't that the dad and mother we want? And yet Paul says, we were that. We were that. What's the sign of a good church? There's lots of signs for good churches. I heard one this morning. You know, we're looking for a church that preaches the entire word of God. That's number one. That's right up there. right up there with believing Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God, died and resurrected for your sins. Yes, you are a sinner. You need him to be saved. That's what we're doing. That's what we're doing. But what are the signs of a good church as you live amongst her and you're working amongst her? You got men and women working day and night. They're like doting moms. You got dads encouraging, exhorting. You've got aunts and uncles pushing little kids along, whether physically or spiritually. Little kids. And by the way, we're all at different places in our life. We all have different gifts. We're all at someplace else. It's okay to say, I'm an infant. I may be 50, 60, 70 years old. I'm new in the Lord. Teach me. It's okay. God is raising you up with spiritual moms and dads, aunts and uncles, priests and prophets and shepherds and all of that stuff. Because he's appointed them. He's appointed us. Paul here is explaining a relationship, a family relationship that we all have together, and we have one Father. And he says, now I need physical help. I want you. In fact, he'll say this, I want physical help to bring you all up. What did Jesus say when he went away? Greater things will you do because I go to the Father. Like, what did he mean? We're going to cast this mountain into the sea. We're going to bring the kingdom in. He didn't mean anything like that. He meant so much more quality and quantity that you're going to go out through all the earth and touch all the tongues and languages, and you're going to bring up so many of his kids. Isn't that fantastic? Isn't that what we want to do? You say, I don't want to raise other kids. I don't want anybody else's kids. I get that. Go from the church, go home, you know, and I totally get it. I get it. I understand it. And I agree with you. But when we're the church, it's different, isn't it? We're preaching the word of God. We're singing songs together. We're feeding each other physically and spiritually. We're doing these things as a family. By the way, we're doing these things as a flock with shepherds and sheep. We're doing these things as a kingdom of priests and ambassadors. It's kind of political, isn't it? You're an ambassador. You're a royal priesthood. I'm carrying around a badge and some instructions for the enemies. You know, you're filling all kinds of roles. Do not sell yourself short. But Paul does say, judge yourself soberly. I don't have that gift. I'm not in that position. I'm this young in the faith, or I'm that old in the faith. And by the way, I will beat this drum until I'm dead. All the elders, by years, in this church, have a place in this church, in ministry and exhorting us. They are the ones first that we should be looking out for, and the ones first that we learn from. And they are the first ones being sold out. And the kids are a very close second. So, you know, I heard one comedian say when I was young, you could choose your friends, but you're stuck with your relatives. Church is family. We're sisters and brothers. We're aunts and uncles. We're like dads. We're like moms. We're priests, teachers. 1 Timothy 1:12. Paul says this to Timothy. To Timothy, my true child in the faith. Well, that's kind of arrogant. Well, then he says, grace and mercy and peace to you from the Father. So he called the Father, right? 1 Timothy 1:2, to Timothy, my beloved child. 1 Corinthians 4:17. That is why I sent you, Timothy, my beloved and faithful child. 1 Timothy 1:18, Timothy, my child, I entrust you with this command in keeping with the previous prophecies. You see how the fatherly image and exhortation goes in right into the words that he gives his son? Romans 16:13, greet Rufus, chosen in the Lord, also his mother, who has been a mother to me as well. 1 Corinthians 4:14, I write not these things to shame you, but as my beloved sons and daughters, I warn you. Isn't that cool? Do you have a spiritual mom and dad? I do. I have some spiritual aunts and uncles. I have some very close friends. I hope you have very close friends. They're not here. You may not meet them. I hope you do. We all have them. We all should become them. We definitely, of course, have brothers and sisters. In the Bible, there are nations spoken of as mothers. You know that Israel is spoken of as a mother. Did you know that Babylon is spoken as a mother? Both, by the way, the cities there, Babylon and Jerusalem, are spoken of as mothers as well. I can give you those verses later if you want them. And they're also spoken of as religions. A mother, in particular in the Old Testament, and then again strongly in Revelation, the mother is seen as a religion, both good and bad. And so that is the desirous, working all night, working all day, hard at work, labor, toiling, and not making it a burden, not being a burden by it. That is what a church does. That is what people in the church do, even men. We don't maybe do it as well as women. We don't do the same things as women sometimes. But we have that desire to work and nurture kids, both physically and spiritually. They said, we proclaim to you the gospel. They were bringing them up. They brought the Thessalonians up. And they were brought them up in 3 weeks, and then now he's continuing to do it with two letters, 1 and 2 Thessalonians. You'll visit them again. And that's what he's doing with us. He's bringing us up directly and indirectly. He's using me to do it. He's using every one of you to do it. Engage. Find out what you can do, what your gift is. Find out. You don't have to go hog wild and do everything. Just do whatever your heart brings to you. Lord, what can I do? Give me an opportunity. Show me what my gift is. And let's do this together. Aunts and uncles. Moms and dads. Sisters and brothers. And so, like children, they witnessed. And they became imitators. Chapter 1, verse 6. You became imitators of us. I want to be just like mom and dad. Or I want to be just like dad, you know. And that's what you hope, especially if you're a good mom and dad. Become an imitator of us. The Father was holy and blameless. That's the greatest standard, isn't it? He specifically said we were holy and blameless and righteous. And when Gary was reading that again, I'm thinking, wow, that, you know, if you take that into the world, that you're like, you're pretty arrogant with that. No, I judged myself properly. I acted right before you. I said what was right before you. I stole nothing from you. I actually gave night and day to you. We were holy and blameless. We exhorted you and encouraged you. We brought you up according to the standard of the directions I have to do that. Wow. That's a great mom and dad. Colossians 3:21 says, "Fathers, do not provoke your children, lest they become discouraged." But it does say to discipline them. It takes a really good dad to figure out how to do that. Or let me say this. It takes a really good dad to work through and find out how to do it. We're not going to know that off the bat, are we? We're going to figure it out. We're going to make mistakes. Ephesians 6:4, "Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord." And it's interesting, in Colossians 3 and 6:4, the mothers aren't addressed. And I'm thinking, Paul, don't you care about the moms? And I'm thinking, wait a minute, I think there's something natural that's happening in the mothers. Now, he addresses them later, but he doesn't address them right there. He's talking about wives and husbands, and then he goes right to the fathers. I said, wait a minute, you missed the mothers. No, they got a natural tendency of you know, bringing children up and doing this. What you got to get mothers to do is engage. And once they engage, they've got this, there's something in a woman, a mother, who does those things. Fathers, you know, Adam was a rebel. And so I know what to do, and I don't want to do it. It's a hard thing. How do I discipline this child without provoking him to anger? You got to figure it out. There's not enough sermons up here. Not enough time for me to go through how to figure that out. But we bring them up in the discipline and the instruction of the Lord. This idea here of being the father is most prolific in John's writings. In 1 John 2:1, my little children, "I'm writing these things to you so that you may not sin. But if anyone does sin, he has an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous." So some dads, and here's the teacher and the dad, you know, like, okay, don't sin. And I can point you out exactly what sin is, too. Let me just tell you. I can make the list. But he doesn't do that. He says, let me give you this. Don't sin. I'm instructing you not to sin. However, if you do, we've got an advocate. Fall on him. John was the disciple of love. And yet, did you know he was one of the sons of thunder? He wanted to call down thunder on people, you know, him and his brother. And he was Mr. Tough Guy. And God changed him. And now he's working like a mom and acting like a dad. "I'm writing to you, little children, that your sins have been forgiven because of his name. And now, little children, remain in him, so that when he appears, we may have confidence and not shrink away from him in shame when he comes back. 1 Corinthians 3:7, little children, let no one deceive you. One who practices righteousness is righteous, just as Jesus is righteous. 1 John 3:18, little children, do not love the world." 1 John 4:4, "You are from God, little children, and have conquered them, because the one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world." That sounds like a really good dad. And he's their spiritual parent on earth. There's more. You can go through 1 John 2. There's lots of it there. 1 John 3, lots of it there. 1 John 4, 1 John 5. Now I want you to watch this. When he writes these ways, when Paul writes these ways, there's a tenderness there, and yet they're commands. They're imperatives in the Greek. He's commanding us to do stuff. And yet he comes with a tenderness and a reason, and there's great hope and a future and when we obey and when we do those things. And that's how these men here, these writers here, are teaching us through the Holy Spirit to be a parent who is working and nurturing and exhorting and even correcting and disciplining like a mom and a dad. This is what it looks like in the church. We are to be doing these things because it's a mirror of heaven. It's a mirror of the family and the fatherhood that God has with you, a parenthood. But it's interesting. Paul never, ever, ever used the word I. He didn't say I. He always, in this letter, says we. You can't do it alone. I don't want to do it alone. And I'm not. We're doing this. We need to be exhorted to do more. We want everybody to engage. Find our spots and engage. Because it's not an I. It's a we. And watch this. For you yourselves know, brothers, that our, we have already suffered. We had boldness in our God. Our appeal was not from, did not spring from error. We are approved by God. We have been entrusted with the gospel. We speak. God tests our hearts. We never came with words of flattery. We never sought the glory. We could have made demands, but we didn't. And then he says, we were gentle among you. We were like a nursing mother. Not I. We. So being affectionately desirous of you, we were ready to share with you not only the gospel, but ourselves, our own selves, all of the team, because you had become very dear to us. We worked night and day. We proclaimed to you the gospel. It was our conduct. We were like a father. We were like a mother, on and on and on. And so finally, he says this, and so we also thank God constantly for you, that when you received the word of God, which you heard from us, you obeyed. Watch the outcome of this. And we also thank God constantly for this. And when you received the word of God, which you heard from us, you accepted it, not as the word of men, but as what it is that really is the word of God, which is at work in you, believers. For you, brothers, became imitators of the churches of God in Christ Jesus that are in Judea. When you got down there to that last verse, you almost want to say, well, he's going to say imitators of us again. He didn't do it, did he? He included the church. We became imitators of the church. This little fledgling church, which is only a few months old, the Thessalonians, became an infant church and started to grow very rapidly and became imitators of Paul and them immediately, and then became imitators of the church itself. What a glory. What a wonderful outcome. There's nothing you want more than to be a good parent and then have your children be like you. Be a good person, be a good Christian, be a good follower of Jesus Christ, and then you want your children, and I'm talking your physical children and your grandchildren, like you. And that's the same thing that God wants for all his children in the church. We want to see them grow. That's our work. Don't be afraid of it. You're not alone. If you haven't engaged, I would encourage you to find your gift and engage. Find something, a little something to do. There's lots of us doing stuff, right? And there's some stuff that I can't do. Lots of stuff I can't do. I told you, a year and a half in my shed or something. There's stuff that I can't do. There's stuff that I don't want to do. There's stuff that you do. Lots of stuff that you do I can't do. And so it takes a church, not a village. It takes a church to carry out God's work in this world and amongst the family that he has placed in this part of Yankton. Lord, I'm very grateful for this church, a church that loves your word, a church that loves the idea that you are our Father and you treat us like a parent. You treat us with respect and love and courage and discipline and even fear at times so that we may walk this path and see you someday. I'm very grateful. I think we all are. Thank you for this church. Thank you for everybody here. Thank you for everybody listening who is part of this body, Lord, and supports us and helps us and prays with us. Lord, we're very, very grateful. Now, I pray for continued cohesiveness, Lord, as we go forward. Help us to be good shepherds and teachers and counselors and parents, Lord, as we go forward. Help us to continue to grow this church. If numbers, that's by you. But spiritually, help us do that. We know that's your will. And you will do it. You're not helping us. We're helping you. So we're very grateful for it. And we praise you for it. And we love you for it. In Jesus' name. Amen.